This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan, broadcasting today from the studios of WVTF and Radio IQ in Roanoke, Virginia. John McCain and Barack Obama head to Long Island for their final debate. The polls widen, the curse of the Mark Foley seat, and Senate races heat up. It's Wednesday, and time for our weekly dose with the political junkie.
There you go again.
My name is Geraldine Ferraro.
When I hear your new ideas, I'm reminded of that ad. Where's the beef?
You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore.
I'm John Kerry, and I'm reporting for duty.
But I'm the decider.
On Monday, Virginia Beach Republican John McCain acknowledged that he now trails Democrat Barack Obama.
But you know what they forgot? They forgot to let you decide. My friends, we've got them just where we want them.
Brave words, but new polls show the margin growing with the economic crisis. Tonight's final debate may be make or break time for John McCain, and he's got a lot to do. Later in the hour, how red states turn purple and blue, plus we continue our series of conversations about what's at stake in this election. They're called This American Moment. We'll talk with former Virginia governor, now the mayor of Richmond, L. Douglas Wilder. He was the first African-American to be elected governor since Reconstruction. On Wednesdays, NPR's political editor Ken Rudin joins us to talk about the presidential campaign in particular and politics in general. We have him here along with us in Roanoke, along with a studio audience. And really, thanks to all of you for coming in today. Even Ken. And we're in a surprise swing state, Ken. And the first order of business, as always, is a trivia question.
As always, great to be here. Okay, we're going to be talking about Senate races pretty soon. Mitch McConnell of Kentucky is not thought to be behind, but is in a tougher fight than he expected. He is the Republican leader of the Senate. We do know that former Democratic leader of the Senate, Tom Daschle, was defeated in 2004. When was the last time a Republican leader of the Senate was defeated for re-election?
So if you think you know the last time a Republican Senate leader was defeated for re-election, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org, and we'll take guesses from here in the audience as well, if anybody's leaping up, but they think they know the answer to that question. Anyway, Ken, the poll's out today. Really bad news for John McCain.
It is nationally and statewide, as we've been talking about, and it's not a national election. It's a 50-state plus District of Columbia, so it's 51 individual contests. The New York Times poll has John McCain trailing by 14 points. LA Times has it by 9 points. A Time CNN poll just came out today that shows Virginia, Obama up by 10 points in Virginia, a state that has not gone Democratic since 1964. It shows Florida, Obama up by 5 points, a must-win for the Republicans. Not a good situation for John McCain heading into tonight's debate.
Later in the program, we're going to be focusing on the red states that are turning purple and blue. But the fact is, all of the battleground states this year in this election, all of them are states that John McCain needs to carry. They are red states. He needs to win them all.
Every blue state that John Kerry won in 2004 seems to be comfortably on Barack Obama's side. New Hampshire, which once thought to be a toss-up, is moving more and more towards the Democrats. Michigan is totally Democratic. Even Pennsylvania, that John McCain hoped to win, Barack Obama is opening up a lead there as well.
And Pennsylvania, a place where John McCain also invested a lot of time, effort, and money, and that looks like it's not going to be playing out for him, which suggests that he has a great deal to do. Tonight, the third and final presidential debate is his last opportunity to talk to tens of millions of Americans all at once and make his case.
Well, you talk about that as a do or die for John McCain, what he must do to turn the race around. In the history of presidential debates, nobody's ever been able to use a debate to turn a losing candidacy into a winning candidacy. 1980 is a good example when Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter went into that debate. But Reagan and Carter were basically tied, and Reagan used a very strong performance to go on to a runaway victory after the debate. But nobody has been this far down. And again, polls have been wrong. We all thought that Barack Obama was going to win New Hampshire, even the day of New Hampshire, and Hillary Clinton won it. So polls can be wrong. But it seems to be a universal acceptance among the polls that it's an Obama lead that's increasing.
And traditionally, again, in past years, big leads tend to dwindle toward Election Day.
True, and of course, and maybe perhaps a lot of the undecided. When we were in Columbus last week, we saw a lot of undecided voters perhaps leaning towards McCain, whereas the Obama people knew they were for Obama. And I suspect that perhaps many of the undecideds may be McCain people who still need to be convinced. Perhaps John McCain could put on a performance tonight that will convince those. But he's getting so much conflicting advice, whether to go negative, whether to be positive, whether to talk about his experience, whether to talk about Obama's lack of same. And yet they'll be sitting at a table next to each other. I suspect it's going to be tougher for a candidate, John McCain, to be negative, to go negative, when you're sitting right next to somebody as opposed to separate podiums.
And the polls, the opinion polls tend to suggest that given the difficult situation of these hard times, going negative has not worked for John McCain.
I suspect that if there were not such a financial worry about people's financial future and their children and grandchildren's future, then perhaps maybe peripheral issues would be effective. But I think if the economic uncertainties is what's driving this election, and certainly seems to be the case, that other issues that McCain may be trying to bring up may not be successful.
Well, we have some people online who think they know the answer to the
trivia
question.
They always think they know it, but they don't.
And again, it's the last Republican Senate leader to be defeated for re-election. And let's start with Joel. And Joel's with us from Philadelphia.
Yes, good afternoon. I think it was Senator George Allen in the 2006 election.
Well, George Allen was defeated in 2006, but he was never the leader, majority leader or minority leader of the Senate. Matter of fact, at that time, George Allen was thought to be the Republican frontrunner for 2008. That's a long time ago. Some guy named Akaka was running in Virginia.
I think so, yeah.
I think that decided the whole thing for him. But no, George Allen was never a Republican leader in the Senate.
Thanks very much for the call, Joel.
I was a little confused on your definition of leader.
I meant like, for example, majority leader or minority leader, like Tom Daschle was for the Democrats, like Mitch McConnell is now, like Trent Lott had been for the Republicans. A leader with a capital L.
Thanks, Joel. Let's see if we can go now to Anthony. And Anthony is with us from Owosso, I hope I have that right, in Michigan.
I think he stole my thunder when he said Trent Lott. I rethought it after I was going to say that. I think that was wrong because I think he left the race for other reasons. But
that's right. Trent Lott resigned from the Senate to become a lobbyist, actually, and his seat is up for re-election this year with an appointed seat. But Trent Lott was not defeated for re-election.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call. And let's see if we can go now to this is Chris. And Chris with us from Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Yes. I think I had the question wrong, too. I'm going to guess it was Bill Frist.
No, Bill Frist also was majority leader prior to Trent Lott, but Bill Frist also decided not to run for re-election.
Didn't have the heart for it.
Well, heart surgeon, very nice, very nice. The audience doesn't have the patience for those jokes. Patience.
We get that.
Bill Frist, like Trent Lott, retired, and rather than was defeated for re-election.
Thanks for the call, Chris, and let's see if we can go now to Bill, and Bill's with us from Savannah, Georgia.
Hello. I'm pretty sure it's Newt Gingrich.
Newt Gingrich was Speaker of the House of Representatives, not in the United States Senate.
He was not a senator, but also Newt Gingrich, again, resigned after the 1998 elections, was not defeated for re-election. This is somebody who was defeated at the polls for re-election, Senate Republican leader.
All right. Thanks very much for the try, Bill. Thanks for the phone call.
Sir.
Appreciate it. Let's go on to some other political news this week. Embarrassing news for Congressman Tim Mahoney, the Democrat who took over the Mark Foley seat in the state of Florida.
You can't make this stuff up. And this is an unbelievable story. First, flash backwards to 2006. Mark Foley, Republican in the House of the 16th District of Florida, in Congress for 10 years. They found out that he was sending lurid internet email messages to underage male congressional pages. Again, a pro-family party. It was not good news for the Republicans, which was also under the gun for Jack Abramoff and the war and all those things. Mark Foley's Democratic challenger was a guy named Tim Mahoney, who said that we must elect me because we need to return moral leadership to Washington. Mark Foley resigned in 2006. Mahoney was elected. Now, lo and behold, it turns out that Tim Mahoney, starting back in 2006, according to ABC News, was having an affair with one of his campaign staffers. ABC News reported that he offered hush money to this former staffer, $121,000, if she kept quiet. And she did not keep quiet, and then he fired her. And so it's interesting. So The guy who replaced Mark Foley has his own sex scandal. This is a great country.
And and both parties are alleging voter fraud in different ways. One allegation, mostly by Republicans, surrounding an organization called ACORN.
Right. ACORN is a community organizing group that has worked with to help increase the minimum wage, to address voter fraud, voter registration. But Republicans claim that ACORN has made a lot of fictitious names of dead people have been registering to vote, and they blame ACORN for this massive voter fraud. But Democrats say, look, there have been some problems, but it's hardly the magnitude that Republicans say it is.
And let's see if we get another questioner with our trivia question today. And this is Keith. Keith with us from Chapel Hill in North Carolina.
Hi. Was it James E. Watson in 1932?
That's ridiculous. Wait, it's correct.
Hey, there you go.
How would he know that? James Watson of Indiana. You have to go back to 1932 for the last time. Now, nobody thinks Mitch McConnell's going to lose this time, but if he does, you have to go back to James Watson, 1932. The caller is correct.
Keith,
and he wins. What does he win again?
He wins the no prize.
Right, exactly.
The no prize. Keith, congratulations, and thanks very much for the phone call. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
And coming up, how a red state turns blue. Carol Phelps is a longtime Democrat in Delta County, Colorado, who's been watching a sea change.
When I got home, I still had people calling to say, I just saw something I thought I'd never see in Delta. Democrats spilled out in the street. It was great.
If you're in a red state, a state that went for George W. Bush in the 2004 election, which now looks like it's going the other way, like Virginia, maybe, call and tell us how your state changed color on the election map. What's been happening? What do you see happening in your state? Is it a demographic change? New people moving in? Is it the issues? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. More with Ken Rudin, our political junkie, when we come back after a short break. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. We're in Roanoke, Virginia today. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan, broadcasting today from the studios of WVTF and Radio IQ in Roanoke, Virginia. More than a few states that went for George W. Bush in 2004 are taking on a purplish and even bluish hue. One of them, this state, Virginia. Mitch Stewart is Senator Obama's chairman in this state.
The night that Senator Obama became the Democratic nominee, we had 1,000 house parties across the Commonwealth. It's over 13,000 attenders. And those were neighborhood-driven events, and those were neighbors showing up.
This year's presidential map has taken red states and turned them purple or outright blue. If you live in one of these states, Missouri, Iowa, Nevada, North Carolina, Colorado, Indiana, Florida, Ohio, New Mexico, or here in Virginia, how did your previously red state become a state in play? Is it new people moving in? Is it the issues? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. With us, of course, Ken Rudin, our political junkie, who's with us every Wednesday. And Bob Holdsworth joins us now. He's a political analyst in Richmond, Virginia, with us from our member station, WCVE. Nice to have you on the program today.
Good to be here.
And what has happened in the state of Virginia?
Well, it's a combination of matters. Obama ran very strongly in the Democratic primary here. Secondly, the most populous area of the state, Northern Virginia, has turned considerably blue. And then we've had a lot of statewide Democrats who've been very successful throughout this decade, though I'd have to say the presidential Democrats have not run well at all in Virginia. Both Kerry and Gore got about 44-45% of the vote. So the fact that Obama is very competitive and ahead in the polls is really a major change in the state right now.
Is part of the change organizational? It didn't seem to me that those two previous Democratic presidential candidates worked very hard for the state of Virginia, and Senator Obama certainly is.
I think that's clearly part of it. I think both of them were seen almost as culturally distant from the basic concerns of Virginians as well. Barack Obama has been here. He campaigned for Tim Kaine in 2005 and 2006. He campaigned extensively for Jim Webb. He gets along very well with two of the most prominent Democrats in Virginia, Governor Tim Kaine and former Governor Doug Wilder. And then beyond that, I think he's brought a sense of energy and has really We've registered over 300,000 new voters, which is a step up from what happened in 2004 as well.
We've got a questioner here at the microphone in Roanoke, Virginia. Go ahead, please.
I'm Catherine Brown from Lynchburg, Virginia, and there's been a variety of opinions about how much the effect the Wilder effect will have on this race. Where is it now, and will it be a major factor?
The Wilder effect, what do you mean by that?
That would be the our version of the Bradley effect.
The Bradley effect, when people told pollsters they would vote for Tom Bradley, the then mayor of Los Angeles, for governor of California, and it turned out he lost that race, even though he was leading in the opinion polls. Well, what do you think, Robert Holdsworth, and how big was the Wilder effect?
Well, in 1989, Doug Wilder was the first African-American elected governor in American history, and Virginia did that, which shows, I think, that it's certainly possible for Barack Obama to carry Virginia. But what everyone is talking about is that the exit poll that evening showed a Wilder landslide, showed Wilder up by 10 points, and he wound up winning by 11:30 that evening in the closest election in Virginia history. So a number of people looked at the Bradley effect, and here on in Virginia we tend to call it the Wilder effect, though the former governor always suggests that you have to remember that he won. Beyond that, however, I think when we're trying to analyze it, we have to look at both the minuses and the pluses that we might see that way. On one hand, I think there's probably some group of people who might vote Democratic otherwise, who may not push the lever for Barack Obama because of race. On the other hand, Obama, in part, though not entirely because of race, has energized a lot of new voters, is likely to get a huge turnout in some of urban Virginia. And I think what we don't really know right now is when we add up the pluses and minuses of this, where it's going to come out.
Ken?
I just want to say that, but also remember when Tom Bradley ran, it was 1982, Wilder was 1989. More recently, we found that when a black candidate runs against a white candidate, the polls seem to be more accurate in forecasting what's happening. Good example, Harold Ford Jr., who ran for the Senate 2 years ago in Tennessee. He was defeated by a narrow margin, but the polls showed him losing by just about the same number that the actual numbers were. So whatever Bradley slash Wilder effect was in the 80s, that may not still be. But still, there's some people who still feel that maybe 3, 4, 5% may be overinflating Barack Obama's numbers.
You know, in the Democratic primaries, Obama actually, in some states, not New Hampshire, as you mentioned earlier, but in Virginia and Georgia, ran far ahead of his polling numbers in those results, largely because he was so adept at energizing new voters and getting people enthusiastic about the campaign. Beyond that, one could argue, I think, that some of the Senate races that are very close right now where the Democrats have a chance, such as North Carolina and Georgia, where people gave them little chance 3 months ago, might be in fact in part due to the fact that Obama, even in those states, is energizing new voters.
Here's an email. We're asking those of you who live in these red states that are turning purple or even blue to email us or give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. Tell us what's happening in your state. Here's an email from Brittany in Pueblo, Colorado. I'm 24 and living in Pueblo, Colorado, which has always been a very Democratic stronghold in this state. This is the first time since I've become politically aware that there have been presidential campaign ads on TV and on radio. Previous to this, I'd only seen many of these ads if they were covered on the news. This is the biggest change I've noticed since Colorado has become in play. And Colorado, close in 2004, and Ken, this time around, it looks like it's might be turning red.
Turning blue. The last poll I saw that had Obama up by 9 points in Colorado. Now, again, similar to Virginia, Colorado has shown Democrats winning statewide recently. They elected a Democratic senator 2 years ago, and they're going to have another one this year, it looks like, with Mark Udall winning an open seat. They have a Democratic governor after a long-time Republican rule. That's one of those states that seem to be, you know, once solidly red, moving more and more to the blue camp, and thus Obama with a lead.
Let's get some callers on the line, and we'll start with Lily. And Lily with us from Panama City in Florida.
Hi. I was just calling to say I find it really interesting that where I live, Florida's a big state. And as it's been, you know, kind of hotly contested in the last couple of presidential races.
We've read about
and
that.
And I've heard recently that Obama has the lead in the polls in Florida. Where I live in Florida is up in the panhandle. We're closer to Alabama than we are to Orlando. And I walk through my neighborhood every day, about a mile and a half to 2 miles with my baby son. And I live in a blue-collar, working-class neighborhood that I would assume would be, you know, vote Democratic. and every lawn sign I see except for one is for McCain. I am at a drive-in restaurant right now, and I'm looking around, and I can count you 6 McCain stickers and 0 Obama stickers. And if you ask me where I thought Florida was leaning, I would think that we were going red. But from what I hear on the news, we're going blue. And so I find it very interesting that from what I see out on the street, McCain has a clear lead, but that's just in my part of Florida.
That part of Florida, Ken, that's where John McCain has to rack up big margins if he hopes to win that state.
Right. The panhandle is very conservative, but there are not that many votes in the panhandle to offset what obviously the key to winning Florida is the Orlando Central Florida to Miami Triangle, and obviously that's where the votes are, and Obama is doing very, very well with Hispanics, which have gone Republican in Florida in the past. They're doing very well with Hispanics, and a lot of transplanted Easterners and Westerners. Obviously the west coast of Florida is more Chicago. A lot of people have moved in with Democratic leanings. Again, right now it's very close. I think the last poll, the Times CNN poll today, that had Barack Obama up 5, which again is certainly within the margin of error. John McCain has 20 days, just starting today, 20 days to move that state around. If he loses Florida, if he loses Virginia, if he loses Ohio, it's hard to make the case that he could possibly win the election.
Lily, thanks very much for the call. Good reporting.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Now, let's see if we can go to another caller in Florida. This is Ruth. Ruth with us from Winter Haven in Florida.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I've sort of had the opposite experience from what the last callers had. I am in Polk County, which is Central Florida in the quarter you've just spoken about, and 4 years ago, I never saw a Kerry Edwards sign ever. And now, you know, we're littered with both. I mean, there's still a presence. But, you know, asking, the reasons why, I think, we've been hit by the economy pretty hard. And you also have this whole backlash from the voting issue, which I think perhaps we're a little bit embarrassed. And I think it was the Republicans that, kind of took us down that road. That's, my opinion. But I've seen something different. The last caller was right. It's a big state. So I think, it's going to be very interesting. But my experience has been different.
This voting issue, that's a very delicate way of putting it there, Ruth. Thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it. Ken?
Sure.
But I think
sure.
if you saw a backlash in Florida, you would have seen it in 2004. And President Bush won Florida by a bigger margin than what happened in 2000. So I think, I don't know if it's a backlash. I just think it's just superior work of the Obama campaign and the role of the economy.
Let's get another questioner from here in the audience in Roanoke.
Bill Gray, Lynchburg, Virginia. Do you foresee a day when our presidential elections will focus on issues rather than personal attack politics?
Robert Holdsworth, you're the professor of political science and public administration at the director of the Center for the Public Policy at Virginia Commonwealth University. We're going to throw that hot potato in your lap.
Well, I think actually most of the people who vote in this election are actually going to vote on issues. I think that while the campaigns have at times focused on peripheral matters, this is what I would consider a big election. People are largely going to vote on who they think is the best leader to push forward an economic recovery and restore America's role in the world, but particularly the former. And my sense is that one of the things that has hurt the McCain campaign over the last couple of weeks is this general sense that he hasn't been talking about the matters that people really care about and which I think at the end of the day they're going to vote on.
Well, let me ask the questioner. How is it affecting you when you see the negative ads from either party? Because the Democrats are running them too, not as many perhaps as the Republicans.
Well, it's pretty depressing to me. We haven't seen a lot of ads like this before, so maybe other people are used to it in different states. But it kind of drives me crazy. I know who I'm going to vote for, but just seeing the way it's done and projecting that nationwide, I think is a pretty poor comment on the way we run our country.
Let's take a quick poll of the people here in the room with us in Roanoke, Virginia. If you never saw another presidential campaign ad in your life, would it be too soon? Ken?
But, you know, and Bob Holdsworth will say the same thing. Virginia, it's so unaccustomed to being such attention. It hasn't voted Democratic since Lyndon Johnson in 1964. You should be basking in the house. Of course, they'll love – I think the mailmen will be very happy after November 4th. Their back will be.
Ken, I met a person from New York yesterday who told me they were so happy to be in Virginia because they could see political ads.
Tourists, they're not coming for the turning of the leaves. They're coming for the political ads. Here's an email from Jennifer.
The leaves are turning from red to blue.
Yeah, Jennifer in Kansas City has this email for us. I noticed the tide start to turn toward Obama when they released the newest job loss totals. As jobs have been lost, Obama has gained in the polls here in Missouri, and the more Obama signs I see going up. There's a drastic difference between Kansas City, where I work, and Excelsior Springs, a small town 40 minutes from the city where I live. As soon as you leave the city, you see almost all McCain signs. In the city, you see almost all Obama signs. And, I think, Ken, that's probably largely true of a lot of places.
Right, but especially Missouri. Missouri, we had thought for a long time to be a McCain state, even as things were turning Obama's direction, a McCain state. Obviously, Obama has always had a strong lead in St. Louis and Kansas City, and the middle of the state was supposed to be McCain country. But the last poll, I mean, we have it right now dead even, Missouri. Again, another bad sign for McCain.
We're talking with political junkie Ken Rudin. Our other guest is Robert Holdsworth, a professor of political science and public administration and director of the Center for Public Policy at Virginia Commonwealth University. We're in Roanoke, Virginia today. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get a caller on the line from Michigan. Clifford's on the line from Birmingham in Michigan.
Oh, hi. Thank you. Glad to be on, listen to your show, especially during this political season. I love all the bad puns. They crack me up. Listen.
Then you've come to the right place.
There you go. I'm originally from Chicago, and you talk about negative political ads. When Harold Washington ran for mayor, the candidate came out with an ad that said, vote for me before it's too late. And it got roundly panned, and he pulled it right off. And he eventually lost a very close election. And I think now, and I hope now, and Barack, even though he's not originally from Chicago, he's my home guy. I think now, to answer your question earlier, you are seeing people voting on the issues. I think they are turning against these negative ads, and I think that's why John McCain has pulled his people out of Michigan here. And you don't see any of these attack ads here. And I think he and the Republicans learned this lesson a little too late. I think the time is now. People are paying attention to what's going on. Here in Michigan, boy, we've seen the economy bad, you know, a couple years before the rest of the country. So,
always good to be on the cutting edge.
There you go.
Robert Holdsworth, the magnitude of the economic issue seems to have changed everybody believed was the truth about how to run a campaign.
Yeah, exactly. I think what has happened here is that we've seen time and again during this campaign the belief that if you bring up somebody's past associations or if you bring up a past scandal, that is going to have an impact. And I think the public is pretty resolute right now in saying that is not what's going to drive the vote, that their vote is going to be determined largely by a sense of leadership on the economy. And I think that's McCain's challenge this evening, is to really show people that he is someone who can impart a sense of optimism about where America can go economically, and that he's not just a person who's had a remarkable past.
And if you think the state of Virginia does not matter to the candidates, boy, they are fighting neck and neck for this race. Senator Obama will hold a Change We Need rally here in Roanoke, Virginia this Friday. John McCain will rally in Prince William County on Saturday. That's in Virginia. And isn't he also due in the Hampton Roads area, both he and Governor Palin?
Those are very, very important areas, largely because I think the Virginia race is going to be determined there in some way. How well will Obama be able to run in part of the state that has a traditional association with the military and with the defense industry? One other point I would just make here is that Obama has really outspent McCain tremendously in Virginia on political ads, particularly in the populous Northern Virginia market with the D.C. television stations. And stretching McCain so thin on money has hurt him not only in Virginia but in a number of other states, I think.
Robert Holdsworth, thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Robert Holdsworth at Virginia Commonwealth University joined us today from member station WCVE in Richmond. And Ken Rudin, as always, thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Neil.
Ken Rudin, NPR's political junkie. You can read his political junkie column at npr.org. And he's with us every Wednesday, whether we want him or not, here on the Political Junkie segment on Talk of the Nation. Coming up next, we're going to continue our series of conversations on This American Moment. We made reference to it earlier. We're going to be talking with the first African-American to be elected governor of an American state since Reconstruction, now the mayor of Richmond, Virginia. Douglas Wilder will join us. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. We're in Richmond, Virginia today. You're listening to Talk of the Nation. Excuse me, we're in Roanoke, Virginia. I knew it was one of those R cities. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.